now, the Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have the story, the white smoke has come from the tower at Arizona State, where they have officially named Graham Rossini one of the worst-kept secrets in Valley sports history as the new athletic director. And we will talk about that. Jordan Hamm is actually out there, and he spoke with Graham earlier. I don't know if we're going to get this turned around in time. And I did not want to just do 5 minutes with Graham Rossini today and have it just be a push job. That's what happens on days like today. No, this needs to go a little while. So if it's next week, it's fine. I'm fine with that. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business, as always. And through the years, we appreciate Desert Financial Credit Union, Jeff Mishi, and their support. I'm sure they're very interested to see what's going on and hear from Graham Rossini. So the hire, Arizona State finally does. I actually felt like the Diamondbacks taking 2 of 3 from the Dodgers was more of my interest. But as the day has progressed, and with this story this morning, Arizona State held a little get together that Jordy went to. I thought for a moment, like, you know, I could go down there and do the show and take risks and all that stuff. I don't want to do that day like today. And I've been getting these, what do you think? 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 I'm just in this space of numbness, I think. That's what I think. I'm not going to sit here and badmouth Graham Rossini. I don't know him. I know he's been around the Valley. I know some people that think very highly of him. I know some people that don't. And here's the thing. It took all this time. The white smoke finally came out less than 200 days, almost 200 days. The white smoke came out of Michael Crow's office. And the idea that this is suddenly a cure-all, no, it's not. You know, Dr. Crow wants to reinvent athletics. He wants to move athletics out of athletics and have it be part of main campus. Main campus can then take care of all the financial side. That's been out there. That's been talked about. He wants to have this new model. I can only go off of the models that he felt like were good in the past when it involved sports, like the Pac-12 network. I can only go off of models in the past that he thought were good ideas, like Larry Scott was a great commissioner. George Kliavkoff was the right answer. I can only go off of those things. You know, if you are pitchforks up, go Devils, be positive about today. I'm not even being negative. I mean, those are facts. Those are facts. If you are the maroon socks pulled up to the knees and the gold shorts below the ankles crew, you're all excited that this is suddenly the cure-all. And I don't know, the laundry list of things that needs to get accomplished and gets done in a market where we're really busy. We're really busy. I could pay attention to the Cardinals today. I could pay attention to the Diamondbacks taking 2 or 3 from the Dodgers. The Suns are pretty excited about what they're doing in this offseason. They have a new coach. They put a G League team over at the Mullet Arena. Huh. I guess but basketball could have been played for a couple of years at Mullet. Why they refurbished Desert Financial Arena? But no. Oh, that's a terrible idea. Why would we ever do that? I could go on all sorts of interesting little storylines that that impact our community. Most people don't care who the athletic director is. They don't. Most people just want to be able to have a nice parking spot, ingress, egress, show up, sit down, have some room to sit, watch a game, support their team that they went to college, be involved as a good corporate citizen, be involved as a good partner, good business partner. It's just not that hard. But at Always Something University, it seems to be. So Graham is charged with changing that. Whatever Michael Crow says today, it's just like, okay. And Graham Rossini's brought in here. He's got to prove that he belongs in this job. If you are one of those that just believes that everything your university does is the right move, okay? Everything. Jaden Rashada, right move. Let's just go right down the list of right moves that didn't turn out. Then today's a home run hire. I actually think that some of what Graham Rossini was dealt came from Ray Anderson and Michael Crow. Like Desert Financial Arena, the way that they have been treated, in my view, in my opinion, as a corporate partner, Bobby Hurley, the way that he's just been dealt this arena that won't be refurbished, that the president says it's just fine. You know, so this is a prove it hire to me, in all seriousness. Because if I just sit here and rip this hire from top to bottom and say, man, they got it wrong again, I don't know that. I don't like the process, obviously. I don't like the process. Crow said that he was the only candidate. Okay, why didn't you do it months ago? Is it because you're trying to reinvent all of on campus? Maybe Michael Crow is such a visionary. If you notice, I'm more on Crow than I am on the athletic director hire. Maybe Michael Crow is such a visionary that after he swung and missed like Corbin Carroll repeatedly, sorry to beat up on Corbin because he had a big two-run triple last night, but he's hitting a .190. And he's swinging and missing a lot of pitches. Because Michael Crow has swung and missed at so many pitches when it comes to athletics, how can I not sit here and just say, okay, he hired this guy, he's going to control this guy, and things are going to stay the same? If Graham Rossini is able to mend fences around the valley that have been broken, and anybody who says they haven't, you are on the points and pension retirement plan at ASU and your check is signed, go Devils. And there's some of those people are out there. If he is able to be the one that mends fences, that gets the Desert Financial Arena situation straightened out, if he is the one that is able to navigate through NIL after the brain surgeons of the past regime said, we don't believe in it, if he is the one that is able to, it's like you can't even script this stuff. It's such a bleep show. So this is not about what a great hire. Anybody who's like, oh, this is a great hire. That was a great, oh, he's a Sun Devil. It's about time. You know, how often does it work out, really work out, where it's somebody who was at the university? When I hear this nonsense about we have to have a Sun Devil, or we have to have a Wildcat. Really? Really? I could go down the list of failed hires of people that were, or people that were just incompetent, but because they had a piece of paper that was maroon and gold on it, or blue and white, that suddenly they had it all figured out. So that's my view on today. When people are, what do you think? This is a wait and see. 6 months. Look, if Kenny goes and wins 7 or 8, that would be a miracle. But if he wins 7 or 8, then the athletic director is not gonna feel the heat. If he's sitting here with Bobby and Kenny and neither one has great seasons, he's probably going to have to be in a space of, what do I do with Bobby? And Bobby's not the problem. Bobby's not. I am, and I have gotten just crushed by those that want a new coach here. And there's not even an elevator in Desert Financial Arena. Not even an elevator. Like the gum on the seat when Elvis did his concerts there is still there. And you're walking people through and you don't believe in NIL? Well, we can get you to come here. Yeah, maybe. And maybe that's all about to change. Maybe I'm sitting here changing my tune, but I have to have a wait and see. I cannot be the jump up and down and cheerlead guy. You know, it's like saying Kyler Murray is going to be a Pro Bowl quarterback this year. I don't know. You don't know. But there will be signs, there'll be people around town that I will sit with and say, what do you think of the new hire? And these are people who have to deal directly with Graham Rossini. He remakes his cabinet, fine. A broom needs to be brought in. You know, there's not many media that even focus on this stuff because ASU is so far down off the radar screen. And it shouldn't be. I'm big on college. College is going through an enormous upheaval right now. Enormous. You're going to hear some crazy dollars that are coming out. And the way it's all structured, it has just become a different environment. And maybe he's the right guy. But anything short of wait and see, I'm not going to sit here today and say, what a lousy hire. What a terrible, I just didn't like the process. If this is your guy, just name him. And then there's this is prove it. Just prove it. Because the way that some things have been done on campus, and he's been part of it on campus, haven't worked. The arena situation alone is one of the biggest farces and jokes in Valley sports history. It is. It's like right up there with the Los Arcos project with the Coyotes. The Coyotes had just gone to Los Arcos. Or the Cardinals going all the way out to Glendale. If they had just done the Rio Salado project, imagine how much better our little slice of heaven would be. If we just had a Fiesta Bowl championship game given to us. If we just, and so Graham is part of that. Graham's got to mend fences with the Fiesta Bowl. I'm tired of these two sides shooting spit wads at each other. It's not good. The Fiesta Bowl is going to make a very good hire. Mike Iaquinta is going to be over there. That's a great hire. It's a great hire. They need to be unifiers. They need to be joiners. So I'm in the weeds on this, but a lot of this, it all rolls together and runs together. It does. So Tyler Shuck is going to be with us today as well. Tyler Shuck will join us from Louisville. In fact, we're going to go to Tyler here a little bit early. Tyler was at Hamilton. Tyler was at Oregon. Tyler was at Texas Tech. I ran into him last week in Louisville. He's had a road. He and Brock were together in high school, Brock Purdy. Tyler was a quarterback at Hamilton. Brock was a quarterback at Perry. We know where Brock is. Tyler's had the road of injury. He's had all the road of injury. So we will do that next. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, as promised, out to Arizona State, out to the stadium where Jordan Hamm joins us for a few minutes earlier today. Graham Rossini named the athletic director. They did it at the football stadium, like on the field?
They did it right. They did it right in front of the Pat Tillman statue. So actually, football was having a meeting 15 feet away in the cafeteria. They were getting rewarded for, I guess, having a high GPA. So a lot of sound bites were muffled with lots of cheering inside. So it was quite the setting here in Tempe.
So this is one of those, from my view, you can't say it's a great hire. You can't say it's a bad hire. You can't really say anything about this hire because this has been the worst kept secret for the last couple of months. And really, he's never been an AD, Graham Rossini. And the athletic department is basically flatlined with the NCAA, with what's going on. Now they've come back with Kenny and Bobby, but they have facility issues, huge, huge facility issue with Desert Financial Arena and other stuff. So that's my take on it. You may see it differently. Fire away. What do you see?
My thought on the whole thing is give them a chance. Is if you want to have a piping hot take about how bad of an AD he is, give it a year. Give it 18 months to see exactly what it is, because he's walking into a time in college athletics when that are unprecedented, and that was even before a class action lawsuit that will, completely, I think, change the way they are doing things. Correct. It's one of those things where you don't really have an athletic director resume to base it off of, actually, Kenny Dillingham stepped in and took a couple questions. The one thing that he mentioned, and I've heard some similar things from folks over at the D-backs where Graham was there for a long time, he just gets stuff done. So you can not like the process with which this happened. You cannot like Crow's line of thinking or what you think Dr. Crow views athletics. But a lot of people were hating on the Jed Fish hire when he went to Arizona. And that turned out pretty well. And a lot of people were eating their words. And Yogi Roth very wisely said, give it one season. Give it a couple months. See if this guy is fit for the job. We don't know how he is in the job because he hasn't done it yet. Now we're going to get to see what that resume is.
No, I agree with you. I'm willing to give anybody a chance because it's very obvious that this is above him. The president was the one that said the Pac-12 network was great. The president was the one that said that the guys running the conference were great. And the president was just dead flat wrong on every single level. Doesn't mean that he's dead flat wrong on this. I'm willing to give people an opportunity. I've heard the same sort of things, not as glowing as what you've heard top to bottom. I think some of the stuff that's gone on at Arizona State may have been dictated to Graham Rossini from above, like Ray or Crow, in particular with the Desert Financial Arena just being a complete disaster, train wreck, still sitting there without stuff getting done. But that's not something I'm going to hold against him. That's not, you know, it's not who I am. But the backstory of him, Jordy, why don't you give that for the viewer? Who is Graham Rossini? What do we know about him?
He introduced himself as a Sun Devil, and that's true. He got his undergrad here, his MBA here. He started out running operations for ASU baseball during arguably one of the best stretches of ASU baseball ever under Pat Murphy, in kind of the aughts, kind of early section of there, and did a lot of things with the baseball department, then moved over to the Arizona Diamondbacks, was there for 13 years. I'm credited Pat Murphy, Derek Hall, and Ray Anderson for, you know, where he is today. And he helped a lot of fundraising, community relations type deals with the Diamondbacks, helped oversee the building of Salt River Fields. So he has a background in a lot of different things before he came back to Arizona State a couple of years ago. And he was helping oversee various sports, trying to raise funds and that sort of thing. So he does have a very versatile background. And you need to wear a lot of hats as an athletic director. And I know that a lot of people are saying, you know, Crow is hiring a yes man. Again, we don't know if that's going to be if that's going to be the case. This could be, he's someone that has Michael Crow's ear and he can go ahead and be a little bit persuasive. We'll have to see. But I think he did carry himself very well in the intro, and really just talked about his passion for the university and pointed to some of the things that he's been able to accomplish over the years. And that he's going to, unlike Ray Anderson, who very openly was like, I'm not going to embrace the new era of college athletics. I'm going to go retire. Graham at least said today, he's ready to embrace it. He doesn't see the challenges. He sees the opportunities. He thinks that there are some things that Arizona State can do to really kind of leverage this new era of college athletics.
You know, I think that's very fair and very wise to say. You know, his hire will be not just a year from now. You've got to give him time. I mean, this thing is so far down the porcelain fixture that it's not even going to be about W's and L's. This is about, I'll disagree with you a little bit on something where you said he's got to wear a lot of hats. No, this day and age for an athletic director is about raising funds. He's got to have people around him that can go get the building done. He can't go do it on his own. I've seen that at Arizona State. When they tell me, oh, Todd Graham spoke at 138 events to raise money, it's so impressive. No, it's not. It just means you don't have anybody around you that can go raise the money themselves. Football coach should not be worked into the ground like that. So, you know, if things get done, it's not even to me about W's and L's. That's on Kenny. That's on Bobby. But Bobby's going to have a lot better chance at W's and L's if he has a facility that's even half as good as what it is now, because that is just an eyesore and it's not good and it's been neglected. So I'm willing to say, you know, a couple of years, let's just see how this goes. And you can't just automatic, like the baseball people, oh my gosh, we haven't won in baseball. What is going on with baseball? It does take time. When he does decide to fire somebody, because ADs are brought in to fire people and move coaches around, that will be interesting. You spoke with him at length. Why don't you take us into that?
Yeah, talked to him about a lot of different topics. We talked about Desert Financial Arena, his view on that. And, you know, he had mentioned off camera also that he's a 6'5" guy. He knows the chairs are uncomfortable. He basically, what he was getting at was he wants to keep the essence of that building, but also knowing that changes need to come. We also talked about the impending lawsuit and how that could affect. I asked him point blank, you know, could there be cut sports? And he said not in the conversations I've had so far. And then just kind of where he sees the athletic department as a whole. And then you're heading into the Big 12 and how are they set up for this new chapter? So a lot of interesting topics here with Graham Rossini.
And, you know, as we sunset our time in the Pac-12 this week with the baseball tournament underway, you know, we want to celebrate our history in that amazing conference. There's great relationships that will last forever, but we're simultaneously excited to go into the Big 12 and take on all that comes next. We have a very progressive leadership in the Big 12. They're focused on how do they position all of their members for success in a very competitive dynamic in college sports. We're lucky that we're going to be in a national footprint. So there's 90 million fans across the 16 member institutions. Obviously, the Four Corner schools joining this fall carry a lot of of that weight, but we're in key markets like Houston and Dallas Metroplex and Orlando and all across the East Coast. And so we really want to embrace this move in the Big 12. We know it'll be highly competitive, but we feel like we're ready to compete in all aspects.
You've overseen the construction of Salt River Fields and some of the other, you know, construction here. ASU can certainly upgrade some top-notch facilities.
Sure.
When it comes to Desert Financial Arena, where do you stand on where that building should be and could be?
Yeah, I'm excited to spend a lot of time on Desert Financial Arena. It's been a conversation that we've had a lot over the past several months and even before that. There's some great history in that arena. There's unbelievable basketball that's been played there. We've been able to celebrate a lot of our sports, some great graduations, some commencements as well. And, you know, we want to look at all aspects of that experience. And initially, we're going to start at the experience. How do our fans interact with the venue? What's the parking experience like? What's the food and beverage? What's the in-game entertainment like? We know we're going to have competitive teams on the court competing in the building. And then we'll start to look at what are the physical changes that we can make to really obsess over our fans and their experience in a building with great history. It's got great bones. We want to bring those best attributes back to life, and we're committed to figure that out.
Your time with the Diamondbacks, stepping away from the university, what skills did you learn there that you were able to come back and now be on this trajectory?
Yeah, my time in Major League Baseball and with the D-backs specifically has shaped a big part of my journey, you know, and I give Derek Hall a lot of credit, you know, gave me a front row seat to learn from him. He's a Sun Devil as well, and so learning from a Sun Devil is always a great thing. And it just was that obsession over the little details and understanding that, you know, our coaches and our players are critical to our success, but the fan base is right there alongside them. And how do we equally invest in that experience? And so Salt River Fields is a great example of how we took feedback from our coaches, from our player development team, from our, you know, medical team and nutritionists to figure out what's the right setting that puts player development at the forefront and the Major League team in the best position to succeed. But we also built an incredible fan experience around that. And so I think we can do both. I think we can be very resourceful and focused on our coaches, student athletes, and their experience competing and representing us, while we're equally as focused on the fan experience and obsessing over all those who obsess over us.
So yeah, we were able to cover a lot of ground with Graham. And again, like, I think a lot of promises. I think he was just trying to show who he is. Ultimately, it's going to be come down to what he's able to accomplish here moving forward. And like you said, it's not going to be a year. It's not going to be 6 months. This is typically a long haul hire. So what moves can he make to help make up the ground where ASU was behind in a lot of respects, and then try to push them even further forward? Or maybe they're in a spot where they're thriving in the Big 12.
Did he give like a first order of business, second order of business? Did he say any of that? Like, the first thing we need to do is
not really. He talked about the importance of NIL and fundraising, but it wasn't you know, here's this rundown that we're gonna do. It wasn't like, you know, I don't think there were. It was a ton of like these promises, and we're gonna. You know, much like when Ray moved on from Todd Graham, we're going to be in the top 15 every year, and we're going to retain assistant coaches. We're going to do this. Yeah. Graham, I think he was looking more at the bigger picture of like, this is who I am. A lot of you don't know who I am. I'm going to introduce myself. This is what I'm all about. Let's get to work.
Yeah, I mean, and they did it at a backdrop where, okay, you have the Tillman statue behind you to speak to the masses of this is our guy, and that all sounds great. This wasn't like a big, let's do it in a big setting. Let's do it up at the Santan Ford Club and let's have hundreds of people come and cheer and all that. So I like that it's somewhat, to me, subdued, as I think it should be. I just think this is like, look, we know we have a lot here. If I have anybody who says, oh, everything's great, like, come on, man. The Kool-Aid ran out a long time ago. This is really the person that he can set himself up. He really could, Jordy, if he is able to navigate getting the arena fixed. And if he's able to navigate getting people together, because right now everything's splintered. There's a few thousand people that really are in the town that are really into ASU. The rest of them are just like, I am so done.
Yeah.
I run into those people, and I just think if he can be a uniter, if he can just get some victories out of their teams and comport themselves in a way where it's never like this air of arrogance that is permeated over there of we are perfect. We've got it all figured out. Nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect.
Right. So, I think in a lot of settings, he's one of the smarter people in the room, but I didn't get the vibe from him that he feels when he walks in a room, he's the smartest guy there.
Yeah.
And The thing I've heard from just talking to people around town is he's well connected. He's been here for, I think he said he graduated class of 2002 at Arizona State and has been here ever since. So he knows a lot of people in town. They know what he's about. And that maybe can help jumpstart him a little bit rather than him being a guy that parachutes in and, kind of throws his weight around. For some of these movers and shakers, he's a known quantity.
Yeah, no, there's no question that this is not an NFL guy that has come in and brought all of his friends with him, and none of those guys are around anymore, and the program gets put in NCAA jail, and facilities don't get upgraded. I mean, he's coming in at a good time, because if he's able to unite and get some things accomplished and not just give lip service and mend some fences around town that have been, in my opinion, severely knocked down, he may set himself up. Good job there. I'll let you go off that. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
It's Jordan Hamm, and we're back with Tyler Shuck from Louisville. That's next. All right, time to chop it up with Tyler Shuck. Now, I can go all the way back on Tyler Shuck to Hamilton High School. He's sitting on the floor in a little white T-shirt with the arms cut off, so it looks like he's got big old biceps, even though he's a high school dopey little kid. Now, here he is married. He's at Louisville. He's going to stay healthy this year. He's going to be in the NFL, and if he's not, it's fine. It's fine, but I believe he's going to be there. So it's time to just chop it up with you. You look so serious this morning. Gosh. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. We've been loving Louisville so far. We've been here for 4 or 5 months, and already we've gone to the Kentucky Derby, had spring ball, went to the PGA Championship, got married. It's been a lot going on, but we've been kind of hit the ground running when we first got here, and it's been really good. I've loving the coaches, loving the place, so can't complain.
I love how you went through. I went to the PGA Championship, the Kentucky Derby. Oh, and I got married.
I mean, there was a lot of events. It kind of was all a blur for sure. But no, it was the coaches and Jordan, my wife, they were great about just moving here and planning a wedding and having the wedding during spring ball, basically on one of the off weekends. So it was kind of crazy, but we got it done and it was amazing. So it worked out.
You met her at Oregon, right?
Correct. Yeah, she played soccer at Oregon.
Was she a better athlete than you? Is she a better athlete than you?
Yeah, 100%. We just worked out together this morning, and she kicked my butt. So I'm still fighting every single day to try and to get there.
What can she do athletically that you can't outside of working out? Like, when you guys play golf or pickleball or whatever sport you play, that you're just
she actually is really good at golf for like kind of a beginner. So she'll sometimes, like, we'll be playing the scrambling together, and I'll have to use her ball sometimes because I'll hit into the woods and she hits it straight and pretty good. So that really pisses me off. But other than that, she can probably run for a lot longer distances than I can. Yeah, she's got some tricks up her sleeve for sure.
Tyler Shuck with us for a few minutes. In all seriousness, going back on your journey, if I told you that, look, when you're sitting on the floor that day at Hamilton, and it's right in the middle of the hazing scandals, you and Jawar Jordan are sitting in front of me, and I was asked by Dick Banaszewski, the coach, acting coach at the time at Hamilton, to come speak to you guys. And I looked right at you in the eye because I remember I said to you, you've got to be the leader. But, oh, by the way, your journey is going to take you to a commitment in North Carolina, but then it's not going to work out. But then you're going to go to Oregon. But you're going to reopen your recruitment. You had other schools interested. And you're going to go to Texas Tech, and you're going to meet this girl at Oregon to be a soccer player. And, by the way, you're going to end up at Louisville, and you're going to have some injuries you got to fight through. You can't script it, man.
No, not at all. I mean, it's kind of all of a bigger plan. I mean, you can't expect to go in one place and you don't know what God has in store for you. And I think that's the beauty of it, is because you have to go in each every single day and work like you're going to be the guy, like things are going to work out. And then you have to react and how you respond to that. And you keep fighting. And then one day you're going to get your chance. And one day you're going to make the most of it. But that's why I don't have any regrets with it, because, I am who I am because of it. I know there's still a lot left on my journey.
But have you had moments where you've said, why me? Because I've always said, you don't know about your faith until you're being stretched. You don't know if you're really going to be good at anything until you're being stretched. And you've been stretched, like really stretched, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. I think there's been, 3 years in a row where you're asking that question at first. And there's a lot of doubts that you have just in general about yourself. Why am I doing this? You know, what's the plan? Like, what are we going to do? And I think you just kind of come back each day and look forward to getting better and just making the people around you better and still having a smile on your face and being yourself. And it's all going to work out. And here we are in Louisville and just with an incredible opportunity to go out here and finish strong in this last year and then go to the NFL.
For people that don't know, when you went from Oregon, because that's the last time I think you really chopped it up here in Arizona, is when you came here and you played at Fiesta Bowl. Take us from Oregon through Texas Tech to Louisville. Take us from the time period of you're walking out the field at the Fiesta Bowl, and that was not a good experience for you, in my opinion, watching how that went. Go from there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just I knew with the coaching staff there and the opportunities that I could potentially go at another school from Oregon, I felt like that was the best decision just after that, like you said. And I wanted to go somewhere where I could be on a great coaching staff and compete right away to play and earn it and really have a good chance. And Texas Tech was that opportunity. And it was a great situation. And we had a really good offensive coordinator and coach. And then that fourth game of the year against Texas, broke my collarbone on a freak injury, diving into the end zone for a touchdown. And then was pretty much out the rest of the year because the head coach got fired. So I was planning on coming back to play, but you know, things out of my control, the head coach got fired. So I was like, it's not smart to come back. And then that next year, new staff got hired. And I was contemplating whether I should stay or not. Cause it's like, well, I mean, I don't know these guys at all. And we had a really good conversation and I was kind of confident in my abilities and who I was and stayed and competed for the starting job and earned it. And then that first game back, kind of two dudes jumped on my back to tackle me and rode me to the ground and broke that same collarbone just in a freak way. First game back. And it was just like, you know, soul crushing. It's like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. But kind of still persevered and was able to rehab back and be able to play in those last four or five games and start those games. And we ended up going undefeated and then winning the Texas Bowl against Ole Miss. And that was, you know, one of my favorite moments of my career. And then, so then contemplating whether I should go out or not, you know, where I can increase my draft stock, you know, that whole question. And there was and eventually coming back to school just because we had the whole staff coming back and definitely still wouldn't regret doing it. You know, I would do that again. But if I knew I was going to have what was going to happen this next year, breaking my leg in another freak way, you know, we started the year kind of up and down, had some really good games, but, you know, lost early on. And then just breaking my leg and kind of getting hip dropped, high load. And it was just like, what is going on? And I couldn't even walk for 4 months or whatever it was. And so it was really testing for sure. And I couldn't have done it without the people around me and that support system. But you kind of learn really quick that this is not always going to go the way you want it. And you had to be able to rebound and get to that next position and keep fighting.
When you're on the ground and your leg is broke, you know it at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I actually broke it the play before and I tried to play on it, and which is not very smart. I thought it was a high ankle sprain because I looked down and it was still kind of intact. And then I stepped the throw and then it snapped into some pieces. And I screamed out and was like, I couldn't control my emotions then because it hurt pretty bad. And then kind of calmed down and looked down and my foot was hanging off my ankle. And I was just like, yeah, it's just not good. And so it was definitely an interesting trip. And but yeah, I was kind of known for at least Tech, even when I broke my collarbone, I played the rest of the drive on it because I was kind of in disbelief and just pretty mad about it. And but it ended up, you know, working out and getting healed up. So it all kind of, and at that moment you look just like, am I ever going to be able to walk again? Am I ever going to play? Like, what am I doing? And I think, you know, after this spring ball here at Louisville, it's like you start getting back to what you're used to and what you can do. And especially in this offense and the coaching staff here, it's really encouraging.
How did Louisville come on the radar? And could you have come? I'll just throw Arizona State or back here. I mean, Noah's down at U of A. That wouldn't have been an option. But you've got family here. Mm-hmm. The Shucks are very close as a family, from my view. And you could have looked at coming back to Arizona, but you decided to go to Louisville. Why Louisville?
I think it was the best opportunity to increase my draft stock and be a part of a really good offense with the Brahms and just kind of their history with the quarterbacks. I talked to Arizona State briefly, but wasn't really much as a interest, I say, compared to other schools from their standpoint. And, you know, I was kind of open to go anywhere. But I think Louisville was kind of the best overall opportunity with football offense situation wise.
What have the NFL people told you during this journey, Tyler? Whether directly or indirectly, I mean, what have you been hearing about your NFL with
this? Yeah, I mean, I asked around for sure. I think it's obviously right now I would have been undrafted. I would have been a high potential, low risk kind of guy, just with my like quote unquote injury history, and so I would have been able to probably get undrafted and try and go from there. But I knew that if I could get another year back and try and increase that stock and play really well and show what I can do, that I would be able to try and increase that and get drafted. And then, you know, worst comes to worst, I'd still probably be undrafted. You know, some of them, it was kind of split, you know, 50-50, you know, you're getting older, you should come out and do it. And other people really, you know, with how you kind of played. And I think it wouldn't hurt to come back. And especially with NIL and coaching and, just the opportunity to come back and continue to play. The only way I was told this, and it really resonated with me, was the only way you're going to get better at football and you're going to and continue to grow is to play football. And the only way to play football is to go play somewhere. And you know, when you go to the NFL, you're not guaranteed to start. I mean, you look at Brock, and he was his whole career, I mean, he was kind of a third string backup. And you get into a really good scenario and people get injured, you get to play and he gets to show what he can do. But a lot of guys don't get their opportunity. So my fear was not getting that opportunity, and I could for sure go try and go somewhere into a good situation and prove what I could do. And I think that was the most sound decision after talking to scouts and to see what their thought process was.
Do you hear from other quarterbacks like that have been through the journey, whether it be pro or college, quarterback coaches, people in your life that have looked at your journey and be like, hey, man, I'm just telling you, I'm just here, I'm just reaching out? Do you hear much from them?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Dan Minucci a lot about it, and I've talked to just people just around the country. I mean, especially the coaches here. You know, it's not very uncommon. Like even the Brahms here, like, and every other quarterback I've kind of been around, they've dealt with injuries, and they dealt with a lot of adversity. I really wouldn't trust you as a player if you hadn't gone through some adversity or been injured, to be honest, because you don't really know it's going to happen. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, and he had a season-ending injury as well. So it's just like, you know, how do you deal with those things? And I think that's what I've gotten from all those guys is, you know, they've had an injury label placed on them. They've had this and this place on them, but how do you keep going and how do you battle from that? Because, you know, you don't know what you have in store for you.
Yeah. No, I'm just curious on that front. Cause you know, you mentioned NIL. There's all these things that have come onto your radar. You've been in this period of time in sports that are unprecedented. There was no NIL when you were talking to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, do you remember your first NIL deal?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was like, maybe it was like some trading cards or, a local deal. And it was maybe for a couple $1,000. And I was just like, this is the greatest thing ever. And I was like, if you would have gave me a couple $100 out there, you know, when I was at Oregon, just barely affording to eat Chipotle and Hawaiian time and go out to eat with, my girlfriend, now wife at the time, it was so then obviously being able to develop some relationships with on the business side and, you know, grow your brand and just help out people and your teammates. And that's been the greatest benefit I've seen. And so it's been a lot of fun. Just the whole journey, it's been crazy for sure, but being able to kind of strike those relationships up.
If this is crossing lines, I'm fine with that. But I'm just curious, when you were talking with colleges after Texas Tech,
mm-hmm.
Was NIL part of the discussion at all? Did it need to be part of the discussion at all? If they didn't bring it up to you, was it like, what is the deal, guys? You have to give me something.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a it's kind of nuanced. You know, you can have an agent or somebody helping you out, or you can kind of be more direct about it. I always came in from the standpoint of like, I want to be in the best football situation, because I know if I am in the right situation, I can go to the NFL, and that's where you can really make good money. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of, it's known as far as if I'm going to stay in college, and I'd potentially want to, you know, be financially secure compared to going out, if that's even a benefit. But I was in the mindset of I was going to go to a place like Western Kentucky, or maybe a Group of Five school. And if it was the right situation, they obviously don't have as much money as a Power Five school, then go somewhere just for, you know, over six figures, or getting up into high and then high six figures, and just for maybe to go be compete for a starting or backup. And it's just like, I wasn't interested in that. So it's definitely nuanced, and I think it's how you handle it as a player. And, you know, if you're an entitled player, if you're a guy coming out of high school and you're asking for money, then I don't think that team is going to really want to work with you either. So I think it's something you can talk about at the end of, you know, your visit. That's just kind of a little tidbit for maybe people who are interested or trying to in the NIL or trying to get money or anything like that. I don't think that shouldn't be the forefront. It's something you can talk about or have somebody else help you with it.
I think your journey is one that is one that needs to be a case study, because we're in a space now. It used to be, I'd get parents that say, yeah, we're going Power Five or nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm just, what does your kid want to do? I don't care about, you know, that's great. You want that. You just need to get to the combine is my view. Mm-hmm. You just
100%.
Need to get to the combine. You know, I've shared that with Chubba Purdy. You just need to get to the combine. And whether or not it happens, he's had a bunch of injuries too that you just have to overcome and get on the field.
Yeah.
He's younger than you, obviously. But I think there's other quarterbacks too I've talked to. In that position in particular, you just have to get there. And so the business side of it, and I'll just pull the curtain back a little bit. I was with Tyler last week in Louisville. I'm watching you. I'm with a bunch of people from Ford, and you're just handling yourself like a businessman, not even a football mm-hmm. player. So I think you've learned how through NIL and maybe just how you were raised, but the business side is already in you, Tyler.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just more through trial and error and just the past 3 years of being able to connect with people in Texas and Arizona and here, of just being in those environments on or off the field. How are you being able to relate to fans, to the business side, and really it kind of shifted the focus for me is like, what is going to benefit them? Like, obviously, if I'm a player, you know, it'd be cool to get some whatever small cash or money, but that's not really what it's going to make the most dividends. Is how can you develop this relationship over 30, 40 years and strike up a relationship to where you guys are both benefiting and just becoming friends with them. And I still have those relationships in Texas and with the coaches and donors and boosters there. And then obviously hoping to develop some here in Louisville. I think it's just, that's the great part about it. And understand that everybody's still kind of new to this, and we all want to benefit from it.
A couple of things to get you out of here. Tyler Shuck with us for a few minutes from Louisville. Academically, this is the best part of the story, because you have crushed it. And that's, I'm always academics first, even though that's viewed upon as like, what? It's about where the decimal point is. No, they're interrelated. So walk me through, and for the audience through that may not know, academically, you've killed it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been a blessing in disguise for sure, being at multiple universities and just being able to kind of stay in college longer. I got at Oregon, I double majored in criminal justice and political science there, and I graduated in 3 years, and then was able to grad transfer to Texas Tech. And then at Texas Tech, I got my master's in interdisciplinary studies, and then and I got that done in a year or a year and a half, and then that next year, I got a business certificate as well. So it was really blessed to kind of be able to get those 3 or 4 degrees and just kind of have that foot in the door with some whatever I needed, and have those documents, and just the amount of stuff I learned was great. And then here at Louisville, it's kind of, I'm taking a little bit more of a well-deserved school vacation now, because I'm a little schooled out. So I'm taking women in hip hop and like nutrition here.
That's so great. It's
but I'm taking all the stuff to stay eligible, but I'm not going for a MBA or a doctorate here for sure.
Yeah.
I probably could have if I knew I was going to be in college this long though.
It's great. You have a sense of humor about it. Football ends, when football does end, what do you want to do? Do you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think we were talking about it. I'd love to get into, I think I have a lot of the kind of in my back pocket, that coaching and teaching connection with a lot of the relationships I've built. I'd love to get into sports broadcasting or media as well. And then we'll kind of see how it goes from there, hopefully the rest of this year and going into continuing the NFL. But like you said, it's going to end. And who knows? Whenever I was at Oregon, I used to wanted to get into the federal government and work as an FBI agent and had some connections through that. So right now I'm kind of leaning towards teaching and coaching. And I have some foot in the doors there, but we'll see how it goes and what the rest of the year holds.
If you get into coaching, are you going to be Mark Tucker type coach?
I think I'll be a little bit of a mix of all of my former coaches. It's some Mark Tucker and some of my college coaches, but I'll still be myself. Still like to have fun though.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're Coach Tuck, it's okay. This is not going to be, this is going to be a pleasant conversation.
No. Yeah. He gets you going for sure, but it'll be a little bit of a mix.
Well, look, I think just hearing you today and visiting with you last week, I think you're in a really good spot. I can talk you out of broadcasting or I can talk you into broadcasting.
Yeah.
I know that you can do broadcasting. You can do that. You could be sitting across from people chopping it up or sit at a table and wear a nice tie and say, yeah, this didn't go right. That didn't go. That's okay. You can do all of the above. So
we'll see.
Appreciate the time. Good luck to you this year. We will be keeping an eye on you at Louisville. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brad.
There's Tyler Shuck chopping it up. And we're back with more after this timeout.